Welcome to the Mad Money Machine, Season 2, Episode 7, for Friday, June 27th, 2014. I'll be your host, Paul Boyer, and on this episode, it's all about bits. One Bitcoin equals 1 million bits.
Broadcasting from the Bitcoin bunker, six blocks below, brandishing the blockchain to fight good versus evil. This is Bitcoin versus the man. This is the battle of the century. This is the Mad Money Machine.
I want to thank you for allowing me to do the Mad Money Machine. It's through your generous support that allows me to spend the time putting together the Mad Money Machine. Also, thank you to Brokker.com. Before you buy it, broker it. Hey everybody, thanks for listening. June 20th, Coinbase announced that they are going to support bits. On their blog, they say, it's bits. We've just launched the ability to display Bitcoin in bits, the smaller, more user-friendly version of Bitcoin's full BTC unit. And still quoting them, they say, since the dawn of time, a single Bitcoin has been divided into 8 decimal places, into 100 million satoshis. This means that one satoshi is worth exactly 0.00000001 bitcoins. Not exactly an easy number to deal with. Recently, a proposal came up to move to bits. One bit, or micro bitcoin, is worth 100 satoshis, which means that prices can easily be displayed using 2 decimal places, as most people are already used to. Another advantage is that bits can be easier to say and understand. For example, $1 is currently worth about 0.0017 Bitcoin, or 1,700 bits. If you want to enable this option on your Coinbase account, simply head over to your settings page and change the Bitcoin units option to BIT. And I've done that, and it's fun to be a millionaire. If you have one Bitcoin, you have a million bits. And so it's interesting to look at the world in terms of bits. $1 at the moment is worth about 1,770 bits. And the artwork for the cover, I've put together an Excel spreadsheet, which shows the value of the dollar in bits over time. The chart is inverted so that as Bitcoin becomes more valuable, it gets higher on the chart. Normally a chart of a dollar per bit would be going down. And in fact, that's what's happening. The value of a dollar per bit has gone down since last May. The chart starts in July. Actually, that's July 2013. These are European style dates. 5/7/2013 is the European version of July 5th, 5th of July, 2013, at which point Bitcoin was around I won't be able to break this habit. A bit was about 14,500 bits per dollar. A dollar would buy you 14,500 bits. And over time, a dollar has been able to buy fewer and fewer bits, peaking In last November, this is Bitstamp prices, not Mt. Gox prices, 861 bits per dollar is the lowest value the dollar attained last November, the highest value a bit attained. And at the moment, like I say, it's about 1,760 bits per dollar. So if you know the price of a Bitcoin, how do you calculate this bits per dollar? You invert the price of a Bitcoin, you divide 1 by the price of a Bitcoin, then you multiply by a million. So 1 over $568 per Bitcoin times a million equals 1760 bits per dollar. So if I want to send you a dollar in value, I need to send you 1760 bits. If I want to send you $10 in value, I need to send you 17,600 bits. It's awkward at the moment just because we're not familiar with it. We haven't used it. I think if we do try and use it for a while, we can get used to it. We will learn what a value of a bit is in the real world, or the value of 1,000 bits or 10,000 bits, or 1,000,000 bits. If you need to think of things in terms of the Bitcoin price, then just say 1,000,000 bits. Right now, 1,000,000 bits will get you $568. So anytime you see the Bitcoin price, that is the price of 1,000,000 bits. So if you're able to see the cover art for this week's episode of the Madman Machine, I know sometimes in the Let's Talk Bitcoin feed, the cover art comes up with the three moderators of Let's Talk Bitcoin, Adam, Stephanie, and Andreas. I suppose they'll fix their feed eventually to display each individual episode's artwork in the podcast feed. If you don't see it, go to madmoneymachine.com and look for episode season 2, episode 7. You'll see the chart in there. So what I'm wondering is, we can go to a lot of places on the internet to see charts of the Bitcoin price over time, the price of a Bitcoin in dollars. I've been looking. I did a kind of quick Google search to see if there was a dollar chart in price per bit, the dollar per bit price, like I've done on the Madman Machine cover art. Is there anybody out there that's computing a graph over time of the value of a dollar in bits? I think it could be helpful for us to understand and comprehend what a bit really means. Also, are there any converters out there that help us to type in a price we might want to send somebody? Say I want to send somebody $25. How much is that in bits? I need a kind of a quick calculator to convert dollar prices into bits. So those are two tools that we need. Anybody sees them, let me know. Tweet it at Mad Money Machine. And speaking of the cover art for this show, I want to thank Rob, who did the original cover art. Well, actually, it's the second version of the cover art for the Mad Money Machine, the one with the actual machine in the middle, with the Bitcoin logo, the orange Bitcoin logo, and the machine around it, the Mad Money Machine. He got in touch with me and saw that I was having some difficulties working in additional artwork into the artwork, the weekly artwork, like the graph of this week. He's the one that took out the machine and left the words at the top and bottom and left me a big blank canvas in the middle to use. And this week is where I put the graph of the bits versus dollar chart. So thanks, Rob. Now, it turns out Rob is also the same guy who sponsored the Madman Machine last week with a BitPay donation. And talked about his bkeychain.com, bkeychain.com, Bitcoin keychain. So he's the same guy. Now, he also emailed me this week and said that he went to Venice Beach and used the Bitcoin ATM. He says, I was officially the first person to try the Bitcoin ATM in Venice Beach. I was so excited. It felt like an honor. It was great trying the Bitcoin ATM and getting to understand its capabilities as well as limitations, such as this one was only loaded with 20s. So if you have a paper wallet, you can't just sweep it all to cash as I had intended, just to give it a try. And so he was the first person to use the Bitcoin ATM in Venice Beach. And I hope to be hearing a little bit more about his experience. I think he's going to write up some things about that. I'll talk about it in upcoming Mad Money Machines. So thanks very much, Rob. And I'm looking forward to getting a Bitcoin keychain. Okay, now, Stephanie Coles and Levi Coles, listen up. This is from Jason Coles, supporter in beautiful Madison Heights, Virginia. He'd like to say thank you to his loving family, Stephanie and Levi. Thank you for always standing behind what seemed like crazy investments in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. I know I've spent a lot of time and money that could have been devoted to you, but the future is bright. Thank you so much, Jason Coles. Thank you for supporting the Mad Money Machine as well. If you too would like to send a shout out to a loved one, just go to madmoneymachine.com and look over on the right to the Bitcoin Donate Now button. Click that. It'll take you out to BitPay. I think I'll just leave it at 0.06 Bitcoins for now for a shout-out, four-line text. And if four lines doesn't quite fit it for you, send an email to bitcoin@madmoneymachine.com, and I'll give you a little extra time. So I see that the guy behind the 2-Bit Idiot blog, which I don't have his name memorized. I'm sorry. He won the Best in Bitcoin Award over in Amsterdam, and I knew his name at that point. But, oh, I could Google it and look it up, but I'm just too lazy. So it's the 2-Bit Idiot guy. He wants to create a Bitcoin meme coin based on the guy in the World Cup that bit the other player. His third biting so far in major soccer competition. I don't know if the coin would have a picture of his teeth on it or just a picture of someone's shoulder with teeth marks on it. But so Dogecoin and now Bitcoin. The Wall Street Journal had a nice little interview with Bobby Lee at the Hong Kong Bitcoin Conference. Here it is.
More than 500 investors, traders, and analysts attended Hong Kong's first Inside Bitcoin Conference to learn about digital business with the digital coin. Bobby Lee is CEO and co-founder of Shanghai-based BTC China, the first and largest Bitcoin exchange in the country.
Bitcoin investors and analysts who I've spoken with talk about Bitcoin as if it's something to take advantage of or something that's a trick to make more money. What do you think of that?
Bitcoin is still very, very early in a stage of evolution. People liken it to the internet 22 years ago. We're still in the sort of the dial-up modem stage. And for the most part, people who are interested, they're interested about some use cases. They're buying some Bitcoins to try it out. Yeah, it's still very new.
Let's talk about Bitcoin's price. It's now hovering about $600 today. In late 2013, it was about double that, nearly $1,200. So how do you feel?
I'm not worried at all about the price. I think the price will take care of itself. But the reason is this. Bitcoin is very scarce and limited. It is a truly global phenomenon. That's why it has value. It's very transparent as well. As more people find out about it, the demand goes up, the price goes up.
Earlier this year, Mt. Gox, which was the biggest Bitcoin exchange in the world, went bankrupt. What did you feel when you heard the news?
It is sad because not only did a good business go away, but a lot of people lost their money. We take this very seriously. We know it's a wake-up call for the whole industry. It's a wake-up call for consumers to really need to pick and store their Bitcoin with trusted entities. There will be more government oversight, more regulation, and only with that there will be more consumer protection and more safety for everyone.
Wouldn't it be better to insure Bitcoin similar to how the U.S. insures deposits through the FDIC?
Today, the insurance industry is very new to Bitcoin. They don't understand what it is. It's going to take some time for them to adjust. Because in the end, everything's insurable. It's a matter of price and premium. So once the industry comes to finding very secure, safe ways to store Bitcoin, then those storage of Bitcoin, you know, by a third party or partially centralized, will be insured.
What needs to happen for more uptake of Bitcoin?
I think a lot more education, a lot more time. I first got exposed to Bitcoin about 3 years ago, but I didn't buy my first Bitcoin until 2 years ago. But for people like my mother, she's never going to have a computer science degree. She's never going to do the research that I've done. So instead, she's going to rely on people she knows and trusts like me.
Does your mother invest in Bitcoin?
Yeah, she has some.
Thanks, Bobby.
Okay, thank you.
What about his father? How many Bitcoins does his father own? And how many Bitcoins does his brother own? And how many Litecoins does his brother own? Well, neither one of them are the gurus this week. Instead, let's play around with the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of Bitcoin gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble for the selected guru. I'll give you a little background on their Bitcoin philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Men Machine Season 2, Episode 7 is Peter Diamandis. Peter H. Diamandis, born May 20th, 1961, which makes him 53 years old, is a Greek-American engineer, physician, and entrepreneur best known for being the founder and chairman of the XPRIZE Foundation, the co-founder and chairman of Singularity University, and the co-author of the New York Times bestseller Abundance, The Future is Better Than You Think. He's also the former CEO and co-founder of the Zero Gravity Corporation, the co-founder and vice chairman of the Space Adventures Limited, the founder and chairman of Rocket Racing League, the co-founder of the International Space University, the co-founder of Planetary Resources, founder of Students for the Exploration and Development of Space, and vice chairman and co-founder of Human Longevity Incorporated. Woo! This guy is going to burn out quick! Well, Peter Diamandis is on Google Plus, and he wrote an article recently talking about how Bitcoin is moving from its deceptive phase to a very disruptive phase. This blog is going to explain why and what you might want to do. I'll have a link to it in the show notes, of course. He describes what Bitcoin is, and he talks about how if you followed his work or participated in his Abundance 360 Summit, you understand that he teaches and tracks exponential technologies using his 6Ds approach, looking for user interface moments. Bitcoin is following the 6Ds and is on a path to go from deceptive to disruptive over the next 1 to 3 years. Allow him to explain. Well, why Bitcoin is following the 6Ds? Here are the 6Ds. Number one, digitized. Bitcoin is digitized money. It is global, purely digital currency. Every Bitcoin is traded, earned, sold, exchanged, and bought in cyberspace. For this reason, it is living on Moore's Law and hopping on the exponential curve. Phase two, deceptive. Bitcoin software was released to the public in 2009, and for the first few years has been growing in its deceptive phase. Few heard about it, few used it and accepted it. In addition, the currency's been hard to use, therefore it hasn't had its user interface moment, which is the key transition from deceptive to disruptive. More soon. Phase 3. Disruptive. As described below by my friend Barry Silbert, founder of Second Market, Bitcoin is about to enter its disruptive phase, where its rate of acceptance and use will explode, as will its value. See below. And then he talks about three more phases, which I guess would be later. Phase four, dematerializing. Bitcoin is eliminating or dematerializing the use of physical money, bills and coins, even credit cards. But more than that, it's also dematerializing, that is, eliminating, the need for central banks, lawyers, and currency exchanges. And then five, demonetizing. Bitcoin eliminates middlemen, banks, lawyers, exchanges, and demonetizes the cost of transactions. No fees. It makes it cheaper to use, spread, and share money. And then phase six of the 6Ds, democratizing. Bitcoin makes access to capital available to everyone, where there are no banks, no ATMs, and no credit card suppliers. And I would add here, yeah, but you gotta have internet. Ultimately, as we move over the next 6 years to a world of 7 billion digitally connected humans, Bitcoin makes currency available to anyone with a connection to the internet. Yeah, just like I said. And then he goes on then in this blog to talk about his friend Barry Silbert, who spoke at a guest of his conference, and it has allowed him to be on the lookout for the user interface moment, which is that moment in time when an entrepreneur designs a piece of interface software, think Mark Andreessen and Mosaic, that makes it so easy to use Bitcoin. He says Barry Silbert outlined 5 phases for Bitcoin to explain where it's been and where it's going. Phase one, the period of 2009 to 2011, was the sort of experimentation phase. That is the deceptive phase, where the software is released to the public and most technologists and hackers started playing with the code. There was no apparent value to the currency yet. Mining bitcoins was easy and could be done by a single person on a MacBook or PC. Phase 2, 2011 marked the beginning of the early adopter phase. He says still deceptive. There was a lot of early hype and press around Silk Road, where you could buy drugs. The value went from less than a dollar to over $30, then crashed. This spurs the first generation of Bitcoin companies to build basic infrastructure like wallets, merchant processors, mining operations, exchanges, etc. That is, the early user interfaces. Barry Silbert's Phase 3 is 2012 through mid-2014. Marked the beginning of the venture capital phase. Folks like Mark Andreessen, Google Ventures, Benchmark, and others have begun investing in Generation 2 Bitcoin companies. We are right in the middle of this third phase. Thousands of Bitcoin companies are getting funding. Many of these are trying to create the user interface moment. Phase 4, which would be fall 2014 through 2015, will likely see the start of the Wall Street phase. And here we begin to see institutional money acknowledging digital currencies as an asset class, and they will begin trading it, investing it, and creating products around it. This marks the start of the disruptive phase. And then phase 5, finally will come the mass global consumer adoption phase. This is where Bitcoin becomes a major player in the global economy, when consumers feel it's easy, safe, and secure to use Bitcoin. It won't be possible until after the user interface moment materializes, but I believe, as Barry does, that this is only 1 to 2 years out. And our guru says, so now what? Learn. Do. Teach. Go experiment. Create a Bitcoin wallet and buy some Bitcoin. There's no better way to learn than by doing. He recommends going to Coinbase or to BitPay.com and keeping track of his work at A360.com. Well, congratulations, Peter Diamandis. You're the guru on Madman Machine, Season 2, Episode 7. Well, Peter Diamandis says, what should you do to get involved in Bitcoin? Basically, learn, do, teach. Do. Here's another suggestion for doing Bitcoin. Go to Brocker.com, spend some Bitcoins there. Use your Bitcoins to buy just about anything on the internet. Here's an example. Do you like books? Do you like movies? Do you like music? All of these things are available through iTunes. All you need to do is go to Brocker.com. Create an account there and load it up with some Bitcoins. Then click on the Spend Bitcoins tab. First thing you do is you put in your order. Just paste in the URL of the items to be purchased. And here you might just indicate iTunes.com. Number two, click the amount that you'd like to spend in dollars or Chinese yuan or euros or United Arab Emirates dirham or Afghanis or Albanian leks or Armenian drams or Netherlands Antillean guilder or Angolan kwanza or an Argentine peso or Australian dollar. Ooh, this list is a long list of possible currencies that you can use. Japanese yen, Hong Kong dollar, South Korean won, Liberian dollar, Maltese lira. Man, there's a lot of monies out there. Wouldn't it be great when these are all replaced by Bitcoin? Well, select the currency that you want to spend and the amount of the currency that you want on your iTunes gift card. Choose your discount, somewhere between 0% and 20%. This is the discount that will be charged to the buyer of your Bitcoins on the other side. And then in item 4 there, simply put your email address. Someone who wants to buy your Bitcoins then with their iTunes account, their credit card on iTunes, they can bring up iTunes, the iTunes application. They can click on the iTunes gift card link, type in the amount there that they want to send to you via email, indicate your email address, and then submit that order. Everybody wins. You get the iTunes gift cards. You get the movies, the books, the music. They get the Bitcoin. Take Peter Diamandis' advice. Start using Bitcoin. Go to Brocker.com, B-R-A-W-K-E-R.com. Before you buy it, Brocker it. I really want to thank Brocker.com for supporting the Madman Machine and making this show possible. I'd also like to thank J.J. Phillips in Toronto for supporting the Mad Money Machine this week. Here's what he says. Turn 10 millibits into 1.3 bitcoins at mathgate.info by proving the well-ordering theorem. Deadline, July 12th, 2014. Well, here's a shout out to you, the listener. Please support the supporters. No doubt they're checking their weblogs to see if supporting the Madman Machine adds any visitors to their sites. If you support them, they will continue supporting the Madman Machine, and the Madman Machine will continue supporting you. Everybody wins if you support the supporters of the Madman Machine. So please go try Brocker.com and MathGate.info. And go take a look at the Bitcoin keychain at bkeychain.com. They're available for purchase at several places. CryptoAnarchy.com, BTCTrinkets.com, CryptoMemorabilia.com, and of course, Amazon.com. Show your support. Show you're a member of the club. Get your Bitcoin keychain at bkeychain.com. He is wearing a beautiful black silk kimono robe with a stunning dragon embroidered on the back. Let's go see him in Satoshi's Corner.
Satoshi no Corner.
Well, last week's forum post that I read, I think I made a mistake. I said that his posting from February 2009 was from bitcointalk.org. No. That's not quite right. His first posting at bitcointalk.org wasn't until November of 2009. Is actually a repost of someone else's question about the Bitcoin maturation process. In other words, the stages that happen in the Bitcoin client user interface. His next post was a question from someone who says, are there any plans to make this service anonymous? For example, being able to route Bitcoin through Tor. Satoshi replies, he says, there will be a proxy setting in version 0.2 so that you can connect through Tor. I've done a careful scrub to make sure it doesn't use DNS or do anything that would leak your IP while in proxy mode. In a subsequent post on the same topic, he says, when you send to a Bitcoin address, you don't connect to the recipient. You send the transaction to the network the same way you relay transactions. There's no distinction between a transaction you originated and one you received from another node that you're relaying in a broadcast. With a very small network, though, someone might still figure it out by process of elimination. It'll be better when the network is larger. If you send by IP, the recipient sees you because you connect to their IP. You could use Tor to mask that. Of course, this IP business has gone away in Bitcoin. You could use Tor if you don't want anyone to know you're even using Bitcoin. Bitcoin is still very new and has not been independently analyzed. If you're serious about privacy, Tor is an advisable precaution. And then on February 12, 2010, the final post on this topic by Satoshi, replying to someone, he says, true, sending by IP through Tor trades one problem for another. The Tor exit node can see the text of your message and potentially man in the middle, you. He says, best to only send to Bitcoin addresses then. Payments by Bitcoin addresses are broadcast over the network as part of the normal network traffic. All communications with the Mint network are broadcasts of public information. Satoshi Nakamoto. So I realize if you're into Bitcoin, you're probably into investing your money in other ways as well. How do you invest your money? Well, there are some warnings if you're an active investor. The IFA 12-step program for active investors encourages you to just pick some index funds and invest that way. We've already talked about stock pickers, time pickers, manager pickers. Well, today we present step 6 in the 12-step program for active investors. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 6. Style drifters.
My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. So I spent all this time designing my portfolio. You know, a large cap growth fund, a small cap value fund, and all that, in just the right proportions to give me the perfect risk versus reward temperament. Well, guess what? Some of these funds are now under new management, and they changed what they own now. My life is rearranged. They've completely screwed up my temperament. Who are they to think I wanted to change? Well, I've learned if you expect nothing from them, then at least you can be pleasantly surprised. It's hard to trust any of these mutual fund managers when you've heard this happen so many times. Style drift refers to the tendency of active managers and actively managed mutual funds to deviate from their stated or expected investment style. For example, a manager may drift from small cap value to small cap growth. This is a substantial problem if you have carefully determined your risk capacity and matched it to a risk exposure. Mutual fund managers are pushed to outperform other fund managers and their proper benchmarks. The temptation to dabble outside the scope of their fund's stated style in order to enhance the fund's performance sets all actively managed funds adrift. To avoid style drift, it is best to implement your asset allocation with pure style index funds. If your investments are getting out of balance, if your manager is guilty of style drift, we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home. Is there somewhere you can rescue me? Somewhere you can bring me home again? Somewhere you can rescue me? Rescue me.
Call the Mad Money Machine voicemail line at 571-366-7121.
Hi, this is John in Kansas City. And my question is, there must be some purpose that we can put all these old mining machines to use for. And just wondered if anybody had thought about somehow recycling these or taking these ASIC chips and blades and putting them to some kind of a use. Or somebody setting up a recycling buying center type thing. That's pretty much just what I was thinking about. Great show, man. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for the call. Yeah, I've done a little Googling on this. And if you really think about it, though, if there were some competition you could enter into with old Bitcoin hardware, wouldn't it be advantageous to have the best old Bitcoin hardware among the group? And so you're still in an arms race of miners, and you're in competition then with Bitcoin farms of ASICs. And so your old Bitcoin miner is still crappy and worthless, even if it's put to some other competitive use. Now, out on Reddit, 10 months ago, somebody asked the same question. What to do with old Bitcoin miners? He says, I estimate my BFL Jalapeno should be worthless by February 2013. Gosh, I guess it was more than 10 months ago. Although it could be sooner. It should have just barely paid itself off, which is really the most I could have hoped for. Just playing with toys here. Question, what does one do with an old ASIC miner like that? I look at it as a little tech souvenir, and I'll treat it that way. Do they have any functional purpose otherwise? And one person said, this is the part of Bitcoin I don't like. In a couple of years, we'll have mountains of useless hardware laying around. It's a huge waste of resources and not very environmentally friendly. Well, I'm sure we have a mountain of old 300 baud modems laying around too, and 1200 baud modems, and 9600 baud modems, and 14400 baud modems, and on and on. That's the nature of hardware. Another person said, just be happy with it being a little tech souvenir. It's specifically built to do nothing other than mine SHA-256-oriented coins. You can only use it to do that, nothing else, unfortunately. And one person answered, PPC coins, Zeta coins, and that's about it. So have a look at PPC coins or Zeta coins. Maybe you can use it to mine some of those, but again, you're in an arms race with people still with better mining hardware. Thank you so much for the call. Anyone else has a question or wants to answer his question? 571-366-7121. Let's pull something out of the Madman Machine Bitcoin Tool Crib. Well, Peter Diamandis, our guru this week, said he's looking for that user interface moment. Maybe this is it. It's the Hive Wallet, the new HTML5, that is browser-based wallet, from the good folks at Hive. Go to hivewallet.com and see for yourself, especially on your smartphone. An article about it out of CoinDesk says Hive adds Litecoin support with new web wallet. Called Hive Web, the offering boasts secure password generation and BIP32 and BIP39 support, which it says will provide end users with better privacy and simpler backups. And the web wallet also supports popular alternative digital currency Litecoin, the first of what the company says will be more updates for the altcoin community. Oh good, maybe they'll get Bitcoin in there eventually. Dogecoin is being planned for a future release. The article says in addition to multi-currency support, the HD wallet also includes a Waggle feature that allows users to find local app users with whom they can complete digital currency trades. However, the development team stressed that despite such features, the app aims to be simple and user-friendly, writing, "All we ask you to do is to keep your password phrase safe. We take care of the rest, and you can always access your coins anywhere, even from other wallets that implement the same specs." Well, I encourage you to load up your Hive wallet at hivewallet.com with some bitcoins, and then wander over to madmanmachine.com and click on that donate button and spend some of those bitcoins from your Hive wallet. Well, that's this week's tool, hivewallet.com. And like the best things in life, it's free. The best things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Not give me money, 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 money. That's what I want. In other news, California's bill to make Bitcoin lawful money heads to Governor Jerry Brown. The California Assembly Bill 129, this is an article from CoinDesk as well, from Pete Rizzo, says the bill would deem digital currencies lawful money in the U.S. state, and it will require final approval to become law. The law is primarily designed to allow California consumers the ability to continue using a variety of common payment methods and to remove penalties currently on the blocks for their usage. Assemblymember Roger Dickinson explained, in an era of evolving payment methods, from Amazon coins to Starbucks stars, it's impractical to ignore the growing use of cash alternatives. This bill is intended to fine-tune current law to address Californians' payment habits in the mobile and digital fields. I say veto it. Yeah, Jerry Brown, veto it. Make all this funny money illegal. Only dollars should be the real money in California. That'll fix them. Wouldn't it be just like a politician to do something dumb like that? I guess it all depends on who bribes him the most. Will Visa, MasterCard, American Express get to him first? Or will BitPay, Coinbase, and all the other Bitcoin people get to him first with their larger bribe?
You're listening to Paul Boyer's Mad Money Machine.
Where are you going to be on December 26th of 2014? Hopefully plopped down on the couch in front of your TV screen, your 65-inch TV screen, with ESPN turned to the Bitcoin Bowl. BitPay, June 18th, was pleased to announce a 3-year partnership with ESPN Events to create an amazing Bitcoin event for sports fans, families, and television audiences, the Bitcoin St. Petersburg Bowl, which people might nickname the Bitcoin Bowl, will be part of the NCAA postseason college football bowl schedule through 2016. BitPay says, "We're thrilled at the opportunity to work with Brett Delaney and the team at ESPN Events to create some great interactive games where fans can use Bitcoin in fun and entertaining ways. Together with ESPN and the city of St. Petersburg, we can create a fan zone, concerts, merchandise, commercials, tailgates, and of course, the football game with full Bitcoin branding on the field and television broadcast. This will be a fantastic opportunity to raise Bitcoin awareness to millions of new users. Our goal is to make it the largest and most exciting Bitcoin event ever produced." And it's Friday, December 26th at 8 p.m. at Tropicana Field. Look for more details about the Bitcoin St. Petersburg Bowl during the college football season this fall. Hey, Martha, what the devil is this here Bitcoin Bowl? I can just hear it now. I have to say, that is the one advantage of watching soccer over watching American football, watching international football over watching American football, is the pain of watching all the commercials. My goodness. Yes, I've resorted to most football games I watch. If it's just me watching it, I'll record it and play it, start playing it, and, you know, about an hour into the actual game. Hopefully nobody's tweeting me the results of the game as we go along. But, oh my goodness, yes, you can start the 3.5-hour game 1 hour into it. You watch 1, 2, 3, 4 plays, and then zip through the commercials, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 plays, maybe 5, 6 plays, and then zzzz through the commercials, and you an hour of your life has suddenly reappeared. You're extending your life by one whole hour using your DVR to watch American football. Now, no such luck watching the beautiful game of soccer. Isn't it amazing? How in the world can ESPN, you know, I don't know what if it's the right thing to say, afford, but how do they make any money showing this World Cup soccer? Yeah, there's the only commercials on it are the little things along the side of the field. You'll see an ad for McDonald's or something else flashing up on that little screen just outside the out-of-bounds line on the field. But there's no interruption during the game, during 45 plus stoppage time minutes of the soccer game. It's beautiful. It's the beautiful game. And then, of course, you go into halftime and you go into the kitchen and you get your snacks and you set your timer to come back in whatever it is, 20 minutes or something, and pick up the rest of the game and watch it. I think American football could take a good lesson from international football. No TV timeouts. Well, if you're like me, and I know I am, then you're looking forward to getting your hands on the new iPhone 6 later this fall. There's rumor that they're going to have one. I guess the screen right now is about 4 inches. They're going to have one that's 4.7 inches and one that's 5.5 inches. The megaphone, I guess they'll call it. The problem with a phone that size, of course, is your thumb won't be able to stretch all the way to the upper right corner of the screen if you're holding it in your left hand. So I'm envisioning some kind of case where along the side of it, you kind of, there's these prongs that come out and you pinch it with your fingers to hold the phone actually. And now your thumb can extend all the way across to the other side of the screen. There's a free tip for you. Someone invent the megaphone pinch case. Well, if you were anywhere other than California or Florida this past winter, you still remember, you still have burning memories of how bitter this past winter was. Holy cow, we'd have snow, and then it would melt, and then it would snow again. And we'd have snow on the ground for days and days and days and days and days, and it'd finally melt away, and then it would snow again. And it'd be cold, 20 degrees, and just dark. It was miserable. which makes me enjoy these summer days, these beautiful long summer days. Today, you know, it's one of the longest days of the year. Imagine up in Alaska, where I was this time last year, the sun is hardly going down at all. And it's 80-some degrees here in beautiful Virginia, which makes me really, instead of being sitting here at this computer talking into this microphone, I really would prefer to be outside doing something physical, getting some golf in, maybe walking and playing golf, carrying the clubs even, getting a little bit of exercise, or riding the bike, or just going for a walk somewhere around. So, in the interest of physical activity and enjoying the summer, and trying to forget this disgusting winter, the Mad Money Machine is going to move to a bi-weekly show, at least, for the next couple of months, July and August. Bi-weekly, I don't know if people get confused with what bi-weekly means. Does that mean twice a week or once every 2 weeks? Well, it means once every 2 weeks, once every other Friday, I'm going to be doing a new Mad Money Machine. I figure, you know, summer months are slow anyway. Everybody else is on vacation. There's not that much Bitcoin in the news. And so it'd be harder to make up interesting things to talk about on the Mad Money Machine anyway. Heck, half of Europe's at the beach the entire month of August, aren't they? Everybody's watching World Cup these days anyway. So there's nothing going on in the world of Bitcoin news. That's why every couple of weeks, if there's something going on, I'll catch it and report it to you. Of course, there's always Satoshi's Corner. There's always a guru. There's always a new tool. And we'll continue the 12 steps for active investors, among other surprises, I'm sure, as they come up. So the next episode of the Mad Money Machine will be not on July 4th. I may celebrate July 4th anyway, but it will come to you on July 11th. The next episode of the Mad Money Machine, July 11th, Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we'll skip a week and we'll do July 25th, and we'll skip a week and we'll do August 8th, and we'll skip a week and do August 22nd. And then back in September, back to the weekly schedule starting September 5th. So take note, if you're a supporter of the show, might have to wait a little extra time to get your message read on the show. And maybe, and just maybe, this winter, when it snows and it's cold and it's miserable and it's dark, then maybe I'll go to a bi-weekly schedule. Two shows every week. Really fit them in, huh? Oh, I don't know about that. Well, this is Paul Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes millibits to make a Mad Money Machine. See you in a couple weeks. In the meantime, buy some Bitcoin, spend some Bitcoin, go to Brawker.com, B-R-A-W-K-E-R.com. Then go to MadMoneyMachine.com and donate some of those Bitcoins, and then replenish your Bitcoins. If you like listening to the Mad Money Machine, send up a tweet at Mad Money Machine. You can email me, madbitcoin@madmoneymachine.com. You can call the voicemail line, 571-366-7121. Thanks for listening. Now let's go into the party zone, the Mad Money Machine bonus time. I don't know how many of you are from the South or wish you were from the South, but if you are, you probably like and drink what they call sweet tea. If you haven't had sweet tea, well, get online and get a recipe for it and figure it out and try some. Or even better, Walmart, at least in our area, sells a little squeezy bottle of water enhancer, water flavoring stuff, good for 24 servings, it says, that you squeeze into a glass of water to make sweet tea. And the thing about it that's better is it's not sugar. I guess it's sweetened with sucralose, the Splenda brand. I just love it. Gosh, I wish Walmart was sponsoring the Mad Money Machine. I've gone to Walmart twice in the past couple weeks looking for it, and they're out of stock. They got all the other flavors, raspberry and strawberry and lemonade, but the sweet tea's gone. That's because it's so good. I went to Walmart.com and ordered some. That's how much I like it. Sweet tea has a rich tea flavor and oh so syrupy sugar. So Walmart's version is all the pleasure without the guilt. And of course, to be truly authentic, Serve it up in a big old mason jar. Well, to celebrate sweet tea, I've pulled a song off YouTube from Darius Rucker. Yeah, Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish, no doubt. Called Southern State of Mind. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
I was up in New York City just the other week. You should have seen the waitress' face when I ordered sweet. She said, we don't have that here, and I apologized. I said, please forgive me, I'm in a southern state of mind. And those girls out in California, they don't understand. They don't like it when I hold the door, when I say yes, ma'am. They act like I've done something wrong, and they give me the evil eye. I say, honey, I'm sorry, I'm in a southern state of mind. I could be anywhere, in my heart I'm always there. Where they drink sweet tea and they raise you to be polite. No changing who I am, that's the way I've always been. No matter what state I'm in, I'm in a southern state of mind. I'm always walking around telling everybody hi, just waving at the strangers in the cars passing by. Some people may look at me and say, that boy just ain't right. Hey y'all, I ain't crazy, I'm in a southern state of mind. I can be anywhere, in my heart I'm always there. Well, you know everybody, if you don't, then you're still polite. No changing who I am, that's the way I've always been. No matter what state I'm in a southern state of mind. You can see it in the clothes I wear, you can hear it when I talk. Ball cap, boots and jeans and a little southern drawl. I could be up in Ohio or back home in Caroline. No matter what state I'm in a southern state of mind. No matter what state I'm in a southern state of mind. Yeah, all right. Southern state of mind.